Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. This is a day that the Lord our God has made, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love the Lord our God and King, and He has so much to say to His people. He loves us so much, and He sent the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. There's nothing we can get ourselves into, and there's nothing that the enemy can do against us that the Holy Spirit can't help us overcome in every way there is. And I thank the Lord. The things that I learned about the Holy Spirit earlier on in my life, it sticks with me now. Everything I learned years ago, decades ago, it helps me to this day, because we have a comforter. And the Holy Spirit, I testify, He is a living comforter. He will comfort you in every way there is in life. And I thank the Lord for it. That's why I always honor Him first. I can't do this without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, I'd just be a man trying to do God's will. But by the Holy Spirit, I can do a perfect work. The anointing He gave me is a grace. And He gives us the anointing to help us charge others in life. The anointing always does the will of God 100% of the time. That's why it is given. It's a grace that we need. We need the anointing of God. He loves us and He cares about us. And one day I said, Lord, what's your definition of the anointing? See, sometimes the way we use words is how we receive them from others. And we hear people talking about the anointing. We read about how the prophets would anoint kings, like Samuel anointed Saul with oil, with the vial of oil, and David with the horn of oil. And I thank God for my pastor who showed the difference. I read over that so many days and so many years, but there's a difference when the Lord will give some greater anointings than others because of their faithfulness. David was a worshiper from the tribe of Judah, and King Saul was a godly man when we first met him, very industrious. And he took matters all the way to the prophet. He was going to find his father's donkeys no matter what. So we see God anoints people based on what they can receive and what they can be faithful with. And it doesn't matter how you start. If the more faithful you are, the more He'll anoint you. That's how it works. But I thank the Lord, and the difference between the vial and the horn shows us that. And the Lord also told Saul, if he had done like he should have done, he would have been established as king. But he wasn't established because he looked at the people. When you keep your focus on the Lord, you excel in every way. But I asked the Lord, what's your definition of the anointing? He said it's a sanction that gives a man or woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. So it's the sanction when God set you apart. A sanction is a setting apart. He set you apart to do a specific work. He needs faithful people, because the anointing can only be activated by faithfulness. Not just faith itself, but faith is a verb itself, but faithfulness, continual faithful acts, having faith continually and acting on it continually. That's how the anointing multiplies. And since the Lord anointed me, I've noticed that things get greater and greater as I'm faithful. Things mount up, and He give me a new way of doing things at random. He give me instructions at the right time based on faithfulness. And I thank the Lord for that. The Holy Spirit is mightily moving by His Spirit. And today is Friday, January 7th, 2022. In which I'm surprised to see 2022 in a way. I'm not very surprised, but I didn't think I would see 2019 years ago. After the Lord told me to tell His people that His return is imminent, and to be ready that they be not left in. We talked about that so many times, so I'm going to move on. The Lord is doing things by His Spirit, and He's helping us all make the adjustments we need to make. And this is a day when anybody that wants to, if they have a desire for the things of God, the Lord will walk with them in this life. And some Christians are groomed to just do the best they can, but the Lord is walking with people now. The Lord told Daniel years and years ago centuries ago before Christ came, that the time would come that knowledge would increase and people would travel to and fro, and knowledge would increase. Well, all that came to pass. People can be, they can wake up in one country, visit two or three other countries, and go to sleep in a totally different country now. It's just different countries are hours away instead of weeks and months away. You know, before we had the jet plane, you may not, families that lived across the ocean may not see each other ever again. And then they may have raised enough money to travel back, but remember, it took months to get from Europe to America, and then it took many weeks to get from North America to South America. So now people can do all that in the same day. Sometimes within 2 days they can go great distances, and you might spend more time at the airport than you do on the plane. So the knowledge has increased. You know, our skill level is increasing every day. You can go on YouTube and Google things and learn. And even though you're not skilled, a friend of mine told me that he fixed his own lawnmower because of YouTube. So knowledge did increase. But not only secular knowledge, but also the knowledge of the Lord. Those that draw near to the Lord will always draw near to them, and he'll walk with them and guide them. And he will be with you wherever you go. And I love that. I love it. I love it. I love it. The Lord is moving by his Spirit. Today he put on my heart Isaiah chapter 12. And this is the day that the Lord is really showing himself strong in the lives of those who trust him. Verse 1 says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." Now, Jesus, Solomon talked about a comforter the lack of a comforter in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I think it was. So let's look at that. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. He said, here it is, verse 1. "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, that was power, but they had no comforter." So he saw injustice because people that were vulnerable were being oppressed by people that were more powerful, and they had no relationship with the Lord to help them in their time of trouble. And then he said, now this is his assessment, verse 2. He said, "Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive." Now that's a statement coming from a man that God had given much wisdom. Because of the oppression he saw, it's, you know, whatever he saw in the land of the living, his assessment was that those that are dead are better off. And that's just not the way it's supposed to be. "Yea, better is he than both they which have not yet been, who have not seen the evil work that is done under the sun." Now, there's a third group of people. They're better off than the people who are already dead, the people that have not been born yet, who have not seen the evil work that's done under the sun. See, evil is something that nobody really shouldn't have to know about. God never wanted evil to exist in the first place. Now let's look at his assessment again. He said, "Again, I considered all the travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit." If you go about doing good, doing what's right, you're going to have a neighbor that will envy you. After you've done everything, you've helped people, you do your best, then somebody's going to envy you. So, you know, all these things happen. And you know what James said. The wisdom that descends from below You know, it's a hardship. He said, every evil work follows envy and strife. But he said, the knowledge that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, easy to be entreated, gentle, easy to be entreated. We need a comforter. So the Lord is our comforter. Back in Isaiah 12, he said, in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, he was angry, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. So Jesus talked about a comforter also. He said that when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. That's my favorite all-time verse in the whole Word of God. I love what Jesus did for us, but once we, you know, my favorite salvation scripture is when John said, behold, here comes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, of the earth. So when I saw that, that was my favorite scripture for salvation. But we need to be alerted to the fact that the Holy Spirit, now that Jesus has died for us, he came to guide us into all truth, all the intricate knowledge that we need. So Jesus talked about the fact that he would send the comforter. But Isaiah said it first. He said, and thou comfortest me. And the Holy Spirit is the comforter. Now this verse is following Isaiah 11. Verse 1 and 11, says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. He's talking about Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord, the seven spirits of the Lord. Which, see, when a spirit does something, that's the type of spirit that he is. It's just one spirit. But the Spirit of God would be a spirit of the Lord. He's a spirit of the Lord. He rested upon Jesus. It's the Spirit of wisdom. When you need supernatural wisdom, he's the Spirit of wisdom to you. And when you need understanding, he's a spirit of understanding to you. Same spirit. And the Spirit of counsel. When you need counsel, he's a spirit of counsel to you. And might. When you need to, when you're not strong enough and you're weak. I love this part. He's a spirit of might to you. You don't need to have yourself together if you can yield to the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of knowledge. When you need knowledge. Knowledge is something that already happened. Or it's the knowledge of God. The Holy Spirit is there for that. And then if you're about to get in trouble, you're persuaded wrong, then the fear of the Lord will rise up. And the fear of the Lord will come upon you as long as there's a devotion in your heart for the things of God. If your heart hardens too much, the fear of the Lord won't work for you if you harden your heart and sin anyway. Okay, now watch this part. Now all these seven manifestations in verse 3 says, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he, talking about Jesus, and also those that pertain to him, because we're made in his likeness. This is not just talking about Jesus, it's talking about also the body of Christ. So I'll read 3 again. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. So but with righteousness, verse 4, shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. See, he has authority, and so do we. Everything that's spoken about Jesus also applies to us when you read these verses. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. So your words is your tool. Your words is your weapon. And the weapons of our warfare are mighty to pull down strongholds. They're better than carnal weapons. And carnal weapons can do a lot of destruction very quickly and very expensively. But ours is free to us. So we have authority. We can shut down the natural weapons. We can stop wars from happening in the first place. We can undo the spiritual war. We can fight from the spiritual realm and stop the evil spirits from starting a war in the first place, or stop a war that they've already started, or de-escalate tensions that they're working on. So we can do all these things because We live in his likeness. Jesus paid a price for us. He gave us covenant abilities. And we have superseding, all of our abilities supersede the enemy. Then he said this in verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Faithfulness is a way of life, not just something to get us out of trouble, but it's also the way we advance the kingdom of God itself. So now, the extension of his authority goes out into nature. Verse 6 says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Now this is it's not limited to, but it's also a millennial scripture, you know, in the day of rest when Christ reigns. But among the people of God, God can cause peace to be formed between natural enemies. It says, the cow and the bear shall feed, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Among the people of God, whatever pertains to you, if you own a bunch of livestock of different sorts, they can be caused to get along and be friends. It's already happened. But when Jesus reigns on earth, it's going to be worldwide. The sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the winged child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And you know, waters don't just cover the sea, they mix into it. So the knowledge of the Lord is going to be full. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for a signal of the people, an ensign of the people, to which shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So the Gentiles are going to seek the Lord as he reigns. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pat. This is where the Israelites went after they were driven away by the king of Assyria. See, some of them are still in these countries until Jesus comes back. And he's going to recover them. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time. The first time was the exodus of Egypt. And the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left. And he's talking about people that love him, not the wicked. The remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt, from Pathros and from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. This is where his people are still scattered now. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. When Christ is in control, when he's honored, wickedness will be gone, and only the remnant will be there. So all the old envies and strifes that caused so much damage will be a thing of the past. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west, and they shall spoil them of the east together, and they shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. See, there'll be a remnant of all these countries that will honor Jesus. People that were natural enemies will be there honoring him. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea with his mighty wind. Their witchcraft will be gone. And with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in seven streams, and make men go over dry ground, dry shod. And they shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of Egypt. Now, we go back into verse 1, chapter 12. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. See, Jesus did all these things. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And these things are already, they're done in Christ for those who hear him. He will not leave you stranded. He will give you whatever you need as you need it. And as you're faithful, you'll understand it. And you'll be able to go forward and not backward. This is your heritage. The Lord paid a heavy price to give us this heritage. And as we walk in it, we receive more. Then the skill of your life adjusts. You're gonna have greater skill as you continue forward. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. See, you're aware of things that he's already done, and it's new to you because you're learning things that you couldn't see before. In that day you shall say, praise the Lord, call upon his name with enthusiasm, you will. Because when a healing takes place of all sorts, you have experience. The Lord is more real to you. He's not a mysterious stranger anymore. He's with you. He's in you. He's upon you. He's with you in all your doings. And now you praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. You're letting people know that God is. He's real in your life. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. When the Lord returns, people are going to be running to and fro telling people about the goodness of God, because it's going to be known. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. See, when the Lord comes back, all the misery that the enemy caused and all the darkness that people trusted will be seen for what it truly is. A lie without a covenant. It's like a man without a backbone. If we didn't have bones, our strong muscles would be no good. Our muscles work because we have a bone structure. If you take a strong man and break his bones, he's subdued to you. There's nothing he can do without his bones. Satan's lies have no bones. They depend on your bones. For Satan's operations to work, he's got to get you to agree with him. And you can't fight Satan if you believe it. If you believe like he does. If you believe that you're here stranded without God, then the things of the enemy will look right. Amen. But when you receive your Savior, at any dispensation, if you receive the revelation of Jesus, you automatically defeat Satan. That's how it works. Jesus said, don't rejoice because you have authority over the devil, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Because the enemy, all he needed to do is win, is get you to believe a lie. His lies have no bone structure. And you can take a man like Hulk Hogan. He was a well-known wrestler, very strong, and many like him. But if he had broken bones, he couldn't wrestle. Satan has all, he has no bones. He has no covenant, just like a man that had no bones. He has to get you to believe his lies in order to subdue your life. But with Jesus, when Jesus is known, everything will be seen for what it is. People that went through all forms of misery, girls that were kidnapped and brought into forced prostitution, child abductions, and people that were put in slavery, or people that were put in, they took drugs and they couldn't see their life without it anymore. People that were sent to prison and they were innocent. People that did wrong, people that were victims of Ponzi schemes, and they lost their inheritance, they lost their retirement funds because of the evil, of trusting the evil of this world. And then the governments that turned their back on Jesus, and all the cold religions, all the satanic religions that have people thinking that God is a way that he's not. All the covenants and all the dead religions that have no bones, no backbone, no covenant with God. They're dead. And they're going to be known for the lie that they are. So when people see Jesus, they're going to know the truth. And the truth is going to set them free. And they're going to walk in the knowledge of God according to the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might and understanding. And they're going to know that these ideals come from the Holy Spirit and not themselves. The Lord enables me to do these works. He enabled me to minister a message. When you have a problem and the Lord help you solve it, when you meditate on it, you look back and you see how you felt along the path of this thing. And you see how God did it. And now you walk around better off. For a person that was sick, they're healed. A person that didn't know how to run a business, now they're doing better. A person that had other problems, the Lord showed them how to solve it. And they're prospering again. Their lives are working now. See, the Lord told me years ago, he said, the world system don't work. Any part of the world system that you trust, you're going to have a dead spot in your life. But when you trust the Word of God in place of that, don't just trust the Word of God without driving out the darkness. And that hadn't been taught right. People have, they taught, just learn the ways of God, repent from what you know is wrong. Repenting is good, but the modern use of the word repent, it is to turn and do something different. But a lot of times the way people use the word repent, it's like asking God to forgive them, but they don't do anything about what they've done except ask for forgiveness, and they try to live a new life, and they never drive out the old thoughts that got them in trouble. When you drive out the darkness, you see it for what it is. Just like when Jesus comes, all these lies that Satan's been telling the nations and the generations will be known to be a lie. And the truth of God's word will be known to be the truth. For once, people will see it. And they'll know who's true. When Jesus returns, there's going to be a generation that's born after Jesus returns and take over the earth and run it. And we'll be telling them how it used to be. But they'll see Jesus. They'll handle Jesus. They'll speak to Jesus. They'll know who he is. And some people are going to have, anybody that loves the world somewhere, they're going to have a problem with him, just like they do now. That's why the last war is important, the battle of Gog and Magog. You know, the enemy is going to be loosed after 1,000 years of Jesus' reign to tempt whoever he will. And they're going to try to war against Jesus all over again. But those that know better, they're going to know better. And they're going to do better. Anybody can know. You don't have to wait to Jesus' reign to know him. Because we have a taste of what of his goodness. We have a taste of the animosity against him from others. We see the results of obeying the word. We see the results of hearing him out. We see what happens when you take the Lord at his word. And when you follow the guidance of God, you learn to trust him. A relationship. All relationships have this in common. Communication. That you can't have a relationship without communication. A man taught Helen Keller, or a lady taught Helen Keller to speak, and she couldn't hear or see, but she worked with Helen Keller and taught her how to speak even though she couldn't hear or see. Now that, my friend, is a miracle.
Amen.
But you can't have relationship without communication, and you can't have you can't have trust without relationship. Even though God is good, you trust him because of experiences with him. And so when people trust the Lord, they gain experience. And from there, they go forward. That's what I'm talking about. But then the skeptics will say, well, I don't believe that. And they never attempted to honor God. So they die skeptics or the atheists. Well, I just don't see it that way. But he never does research. See, people that don't do research, one of the Proverbs said, if you judge something, I'm not quoting it, this is just what it was saying, but if you judge a matter before you hear it completely, you that's foolishness. Something this important must be researched. If you are, there are wonderful people that happen to be atheists because of where they grew up, who their family members were, or what happened to them that was wrong. Otherwise, they still do positive things. They become doctors. They become dentists. They become mechanics. They contribute to society, but they don't know God, and they have their reasons for not believing in it. But the thing is, when you see more light, you have to research it for yourself. And anybody that does the research, they're going to know that God is. And he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So that's why I encourage some. See, all of the societies on earth, every group of people, every culture, even sometimes in the same neighborhood. See, families, they grow up, they buy a house wherever they can afford it or wherever they want it to be. But the people that they choose to go around is what they believe. That's their culture. So it's almost like you got a culture of atheists in one corner, you got a culture of Bible believing Christians in another, you got a culture of evangelist type Christians in another, evangelicals. Then you got a culture of people that just love sports, and they don't, you know, they're kind of up in the air about God. And then you got a young generation that just want to have fun. Then you got families that do it the way that they did it always. But the thing to get these worlds to collide is sometimes sicknesses. Because when you have to go to the hospital, sometimes you may share a room with a stranger because of bed shortage. You know, you don't have your private room. Now your world is blended.